The party was travelling at the speed of the cart, and at this point the two riders in the lead stopped and turned in their saddles, waiting for it to catch up. Then one of them pointed back, past the hidden watchers. There was a shout, too far away to be understood. The troopers in the rear trotted up to the cart, met with their comrades, and all four turned to look up. There was some discussion, and two riders trotted back along the road. "Oh, darn," said Polly. "What have they spotted?" The horsemen went past their hiding place. A few moments later, they heard the horses enter the woods.
"Do we run and get them?" said Jade.
"Let Jackram do that," said Maledict.
"But if he does, and the men don't come back," Polly began.
"When they don't come back," Maledict corrected her.
"Then those other two will get suspicious, won't they? One will probably stay here, the other will go to get help."
"Then we'll sneak up and wait," said Maledict. "Look, they've dismounted. The cart's pulled in, too. If they look as though they're worried, we'll move in."
"And do what, exactly?" said Polly.
"Threaten to shoot them," said Maledict firmly.
"And if they don't believe us?"
"Then we'll threaten to shoot them in a much louder voice," said Maledict. "Happy? And I hope to hell they've got some coffee."
There are three things a soldier wants to do when there's a respite on the road. One involves lighting a cigarette, one involves lighting a fire, and the other one involves no flames at all, but does generally require a tree. Actually, a tree is not technically required, but seems to be insisted upon for reasons of style. The two troopers had a fire going and a billy can steaming when a young man jumped down from the cart, stretched his arms, looked around, yawned, and sauntered a little way into the forest. He found a convenient tree and, a moment later, was apparently examining the bark at eye height with studied enthusiasm. The tip of a steel crossbow bolt pressed against the back of his neck, and a voice said, "Raise your hands and turn around slowly."
"What? Right now?"
All right, no. You can finish what you're doing."
"Actually, I think that's going to be quite impossible. Let me just, right, OK."
The man raised his hands again.
"You realise I just have to shout?"
"So," said Polly, "I just have to pull this trigger. Shall we have a race?" The man turned around.
"See,"
said Polly, stepping back. "It's him again, the word, the writer man."
"You're them," he said.
"Them who?"
said Jade.
"Oh, dear," said Maledict.
"Look, I'd give anything to talk to you," said the word. "Please?"
"You're with the enemy," hissed Polly.
"What?
Them? No. They're from Lord Rust's regiment, from Ankh-Morpork. They've been sent to protect us."
"Troops to protect you in Borogravia?" said Maledict. "Who from?"
"You mean from whom?"
Well, you, in theory." Jade leaned down.
"Efficient, aren't they?"
"Look, I must talk to you," said the man urgently. "This is astounding. Everyone's looking for you. Did you kill that old couple in the woods?"
Birds sang. Far off there was the call of the female blue-capped woodpecker. "A patrol found the fresh graves," said the word. High above, an ice heron, a winter migrant from the hub, gave an ugly honk as it searched for lakes.
"I take it you didn't then?" said the word.
"We buried them," said Maledict coldly. "We don't know who killed them."
"We did take some vegetables," said Polly. She remembered laughing about it. Admittedly, it was only because it was that or start crying, but even so.
"You've been living off the land."
He tugged a notebook out of his pocket and was scribbling in it with a pencil.
"We don't have to talk to you," said Maledict.
"No, no, you must. There's so much you need to know. You're in the ups and downs, right?"
"Ins and outs," said Polly. "And you," the man began. "I've had enough of this," said Maledict, and marched away from the tree and into the clearing.
The two cavalrymen looked up from their fire, and there was a moment of immobility before one reached for his sword. Maledict swung the bow quickly from one to the other, its point hypnotising them like a swinging watch.
"I've only got one shot, but there's two of you," he said. "Who shall I shoot? You choose. Now listen very carefully. Where's your coffee? You've got coffee, haven't you? Come on, everyone's got coffee. Spill the beans."
They stared at the crossbow and slowly shook their heads.
"What about you, writer man?" snarled Maledict. "Where are you hiding the coffee?"
"We only have cocoa," said the writer, raising his hands quickly as Maledict turned on him. "You're welcome to..."
Maledict dropped his crossbow, which fired straight up into the air, and failed to hit anything, especially a duck.